This summer, get ready for the 99's More in Store Tour. More than 40 99-cent only stores in L.A. are getting more 99-y, so you'll find more fun with a fresh design. Discover more seasonal decor with sizzling savings, drool more with fresh produce at mouthwatering prices, and keep saving more with the 99's unbeatable value on unbelievable name brands.
I need a bigger cart.
Find out if the summer's hottest tour is bringing more to a 99 near you at 99hasmore.com.
Gary and Shannon Show. I'm Mo Kelly in for Gary and Shannon. KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. And keep it coming. The response has been tremendous. Hit me on Twitter at Mr. Mo Kelly, MrMokelly. We're having a nice cryptocurrency discussion. Tell me about the different platforms that you're using and why to purchase or sell different cryptocurrencies, the pluses and minuses, the advantages and disadvantages. I want all of your suggestions. That's something that I'm not an expert on. I wouldn't profess to be even be semi-knowledgeable. So I am crowdsourcing your information. So hit me on Twitter at Mr. Mo Kelly, MrMokelly. We began the show today talking about the Palisades fire. In fact, we started with the presser, which began right around at 10 a.m. And you might have even heard KFI's own Steve Gregory in the background with the Q&A. Well, he's going to join us now with what he learned from that presser, which we might not have heard. Steve, first, good morning. How you doing, sir?
Hey, good morning, Mo. Yeah, so we had quite the show out here today. L.A. City Mayor Garcetti. We had Councilman Mike Bonin, along with L.A. City Fire Chief Rob Tarazas, a representative from the L.A. County Fire Department, talking to us about the fact that there is someone in custody now and will presumably be charged in connection with the fire that started Friday night after they received some tips, and then after that, they deployed an LAPD helicopter. And I just want to play for you a little bit here. Tarazas talking about how they kind of figured it out.
There was information, actually, from I think it was an LAPD helicopter pilot, saw something from the sky. And that was the initial start. And then we saw, we had additional information the following day that a fire at a different location was starting up. So anytime you have multiple points of origin, your first thought, this is not natural. There wasn't enough wind for embers. Under normal conditions, you would consider that, but there was not very much wind. So all those things are part of the investigation. We'll more know in the coming days.
So he actually took the fact that there were two points of origin within the fire zone and added that together with the tips that had been coming in and with what the LAPD helicopter spotted in the air. They concluded that this was intentionally started, and they actually had someone in custody on Saturday, but they did release that individual, but then they did take this other person into custody and formally arrest them yesterday afternoon.
Obviously, as you know, they've been very tight-lipped about this person, and we can't necessarily speculate as to why, but do we know
Oh, I can tell you exactly why.
Oh, go ahead.
Because it's most likely a homeless person. And that's why Bonin was here. I will also tell you, I don't know if you heard, if you were listening to any of the audio, but the chanting in the background, there were a group of residents that showed up here shouting down Mike Bonin while he spoke. Recall Bonin. They're pretty upset at the fact that they're about to put a bunch of homeless units on this very parking lot that I'm sitting. And the fact that they know that the homeless encampment's up there. I asked the chief, I said, was this a homeless person? And he says, well, I don't really know. And, I don't want to call the chief a liar because he's not a liar. But he was not, privy to the arrest itself. He'll get that debrief later. But then when I asked, are there any homeless encampments up there? And he said, well, there's a lot of homeless encampments. So he wouldn't answer whether, and I said, well, were there encampments in the fire zone? And he said he would just stick with it. There are encampments all over. So the reason they don't want to talk about it is because it's this kind of, and you can tell that's a directive from the mayor's office and Bonin himself. There's this very, very strict policy of not demonizing homeless people. And that's part of it.
Do we know at this point in regard to the arrest? I don't want to read too much into it, but since that person was arrested,
does that tilt towards arson as opposed to negligence if we're dealing with a homeless person?
And I asked the chief, I said, what were the charges? He says, I'm not going to get into that.
Well, which is it?
He said in connection with the fire.
Yeah.
So when I said, well, what are the actual charges? He goes, I'm not going to get into that. So, like I said, they're being very tight-lipped about it because this is a political hot potato. When you've got the mayor standing there and you've got, you know, the councilman for this district standing there, the L.A. City Fire has been, it's a little different than L.A. County. They play this thing differently. It's a different posturing, completely different posturing. They don't want to start an all-out vigilante war against the homeless. And these residents down here, in so much that they said they're tired of this, because I guess there was a fire last week in the Malibu area that was started by a homeless man, and a local, like a patch reporter person, was here and asked the question, is this the same person that started the fire last week in Malibu? And the chief's like, I don't really have any information on that. He says, I don't know anything about that. So there's a lot of pressure here in basically outing the fact that homeless people start fires in these canyons. And you probably know this, that a lot of the fires that started in Malibu area are started by homeless encampment fires and embers blowing. And they don't want to demonize homeless people. And that's why they will not specifically come out and say. So then you have to, then as a reporter, you have to try to suss that out. And then you have to ask questions like, well, where's this person's place of residence? And then, you know, then you wait for an answer. And a lot of times, like, well, we don't have that. And they just don't simply want to tell you because they don't, again, the directive is they don't want to demonize the homeless.
You mentioned that people were chanting as far as recall of Mike Bonin. Were there a lot of people at the press conference more than usually would be there for a press conference? Is this a growing contingent of people?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're talking about residents, let me see here if I can find something.
Los Angeles County Fire Department.
No, I can't find it real quick. I don't have that one loaded at where the chanting was going on in the background. But it was very clear. I mean, there was probably, I don't know, it was about 40, maybe 50 people off to the side.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
with signs and banners, very well organized. And they came out and they as soon as we showed up, they were screaming at us to you know, basically come talk to them and give them attention. And I was getting set up, but then they were quiet. In fact, they were thanking the firefighters. They were thanking them. They thanked the mayor. And then as soon as Bonin got up there, they started booing, hissing, and chanting, recall Mike Bonin, recall Mike Bonin. And they were shouting the whole time he spoke. He spoke for probably 5 to 6 minutes, and they chanted the entire time.
See, that's where we missed it, because we had just dropped out here at KFI, dropped out of the press conference right at the moment that Bonin came to the podium. So we didn't catch any of that, unfortunately. But we did hear you, Steve, get your questions in as our intrepid reporter.
Well, the thing is that it was, you could tell that was kind of the line of questioning. There was another reporter there asking a little bit about, you know, brush clearance and whatnot. But most of us, there were two or three of us there that were asking very similar questions about the state of the suspect and whether or not they were homeless and what the status was, because this is a problem. It's an issue. And talking to a couple of the homeowners around here, they said that they're having to keep aware, more aware than ever before, because for security reasons, for fire now, and it's got them all pretty upset.
Hey, Steve, can I get you to stay around for another segment? Because I would love to talk Mars Ingenuity with you.
Sure.
All right, we'll do that next. This is the Gary and Shannon Show. Mo Kelly in for Gary and Shannon. KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Gary and Shannon Show. Mo Kelly here. KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. I'll be with you until the top of the hour, and then Wayne Resnick will take you the rest of the way until 2 p.m. If you're just tuning in, I'm speaking with KFI's own Steve Gregory. And Steve, I got to be honest with you. I think you've been holding out on me. I didn't learn until maybe last year that you were an accomplished musician. You played the timpani. You had this love of music as I did. And now to find out you have this love of space and tech as I do. What else do I not know about you, Steve Gregory?
That's a good question. I don't really know. I mean, I used to be in karate. I graduated I think I was green belt. I think green belt was the highest I ever got. Or was it green belt? I can't remember.
Now, see, but that's something else I did not know.
Yeah, I did that early on. My nickname was Tank, believe it or not. That was my name, my karate, my dojo nickname.
Tank. Well, it fascinates me the many and varied interests that you have. And I know as a news person, you're curious by nature, I would assume, but I did not know specifically it would move in this direction. So tell me how you went about putting this piece together about Mars Ingenuity.
Oh, the one from this morning.
Yes.
Well, actually, it was more about AeroVironment, and it's a government contractor that's based in Simi Valley. And I got an invitation the other day. It was a really like a super secret thing where, you know, there was only like six of us in this testing facility, a beautiful building up in Simi Valley. And what they wanted to do was fly their version of the Ingenuity helicopter, because this company, what people don't know, is responsible for most of the Ingenuity. Its design, it's the way it was manufactured, the way it flies, the fact that they're the ones that had to create the rotors, the special rotors, and the motors in order to do the RPMs much faster, because the atmosphere on Mars is much thinner. And one of the engineers, in fact, I had her thump the rotor blade, because it's basically this hollow foam core with a skin, carbon fiber skin wrapped around it. So that's her holding it and then thumping it with her finger. And then we're sitting there inside this big, beautiful warehouse, clean, just pristine white floor, tall, tall ceiling. And then all of a sudden you see this total replica of the Ingenuity sitting in front of you, but it was redone so it could fly on Earth. And it was named Terry the Terrestrial Helicopter. So it's basically the cousin to the Ingenuity. And they started it up
and then came back to its original landing spot.
That's what it sounds like. And then he did a flyover right over my head. I'm sitting on a chair. It was so cool. And what he did is he replicated the exact flight path that Ingenuity's been taking. It's five flights. He did the five flights for us. And then he did a little bit of freeform flying. So what they did was they just let us look at it in person, go up close, touch it, pick it up, 4 pounds, 5 pounds. And it was really neat to see it. And Ingenuity on Mars, the sound of Ingenuity, I think it's going to come out on the air here. I'm going to play it, because this is the actual sound. And that was picked up by Mars Rover Perseverance, and they did it on one of their two microphones. It was on the arm that they've got, the large arm out in the front, the robotic arm, and they've got a microphone affixed to the front of it. And so it was neat. So I did this piece. I wanted to do this sort of comparison between what it sounds like on Mars and what it sounds like here on Earth.
It's amazing the technology which went into creating a vehicle which would take flight on a planet that none of us had been to, dealing with aerodynamics, which I think is like 1/100th as far as atmospheric conditions of the Earth, and then have something fly. It just amazes me how they can even theorize something like that, much less pull it off. I don't know, Steve, did you see the video, the 3D video that NASA posted like the past couple of days?
Yeah. Yeah, so what's cool about it is that I'm one of those that loves it when it's first released. I get an alert from JPL, and then I'm looking at it immediately. I love looking at it and you know, listening to the audio and watching the video, and that, like that very first video. And I remember being at JPL the day that they got their first images back, and it's just, you get this chill, because you're a part of history. You're actually getting to see it in real time. And when the data comes back, and the way they have to process the data. And just, you know, what's interesting is that they have to load the flight path and the flight pattern into the computer and then send it up to Mars and bounce it off of some satellites and then get it to Perseverance. And then Perseverance sends it over to Ingenuity. And then it fires up, and then it flies and does its flight, and then it lands, and then it powers down, and then it recharges with its solar cell on the top, solar panel. And then it sends the data back to confirm whether or not the flight path went off or flight pattern went off okay. And then, you know, that's what the guy was talking about the other day. He had like a drone control panel, you know, a little controller like flying a drone. And that's how he flew the helicopter the other day. But he said the difference there is they have to load it all in there. So the technology is just fascinating. It's an 11-minute time frame to transmit it up and get it back.
Quick question before I let you go, and I wouldn't expect you to know the answer to this. I was just curious. It just popped in my mind. We know that China specifically announced that they also landed a rover on Mars last week. Is there any communication at all between, I will say, JPL and Chinese state media as far as, or just Chinese authorities as far as coordination, so we don't necessarily bump into each other, as they say?
That's an excellent question to which I have no answer. You know, I was wondering the same thing, because you know everyone's aware of what's going on around them.
Right.
And then you also have, the United Arab Emirates also launched a vehicle up there too. So you've got more and more countries now are getting a little more bold and brazen about exploring other planets. And it's interesting. I don't know, but I do know that JPL NASA has set up all of their components, all of their equipment up there to communicate with each other. So they're doing this sort of daisy chain of communication. So they're making everything, regardless of what it looks like and how old it is, they're trying to make it to where they all communicate with each other. So it'd be interesting to see if they actually have the ability to do that with another country's spacecraft as well.
Well, Steve, thank you for not knowing but giving a great answer nonetheless. Steve Gregory, KFI's own intrepid reporter, thank you for covering the Palisades fire and all that you do on a day-to-day basis.
Thanks, Mo. Take care.
Take care. This is the Gary and Shannon Show, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. It's the Gary and Shannon Show. I'm Mo Kelly in for Gary and Shannon on this Monday. And I'll be with you until the top of the hour, and then Wayne Resnick will take over until 2 o'clock. Last night on my program, The Mo Kelly Show, it was more breaking news at that time. I covered the rant, which had just got posted on Twitter by actor Ricky Schroeder regarding his failed attempt at entering a Costco without a mask. And you may remember last week, Amy King and I had a really good discussion about how moving forward, there was going to be some consternation as far as how we're going to engage one another in light of the new CDC recommendations, not only how we individually would do it, but how businesses would respond to it. And it's actually being debated all over cable news today as far as whether the CDC did the right thing in the right manner, or did they increase confusion?
Well, you have to know, too, when they put out their recommendation, it takes a while to trickle down.
Yes.
And, you know, California just announced, they just released this, that they're not going to change mask mandates until June 15th. And June 15th is the date that Governor Newsom announced, I don't know, about a month ago. And he said, hey, we're going to open up on June 15th. And so California said, okay, we're leaving things as they are until then.
And what that means is, although companies like Costco and maybe Walmart and Sam's Club have said we are rescinding our mask mandates, that does not supersede the state mandate.
But go ahead. Then L.A. County Health Director Barbara Ferrer said last week, we're going to be meeting next week, like late this week, and at that time we'll consider whether to lift the mask mandate. So would L.A. counties over, you know, would the state supersede L.A. counties?
Well, it depends.
Does the CDC supersede everybody?
Well, actually, the CDC doesn't supersede anyone, if only because it's just guidelines. It's
That's
not
true.
Policy.
Okay.
But the confusion is you have a company like Costco who says they're following the state mandate, at least publicly. That what they said for their Costcos in any state, they're going to follow whatever the state guidance is. But that goes back to your question, whether Los Angeles County would supersede state and how that would work and when we as lay people would figure that out. I say all that to say Ricky Schroeder tried entering a Costco yesterday here in Los Angeles without a mask, and it didn't go well. I personally don't like when someone tries to berate someone who's doing their job.
That's exactly the conversation I had last night with somebody. I said, I understand everybody's frustration, but these guys just work at Costco. They're not making the rules.
No, they're not. They're not.
They're following the rules.
And if they don't follow the rules, they'll probably be fired.
Exactly.
What do you want the person to do? With all that as a preface, here's what happened yesterday when Ricky Schroeder was denied entrance into a Costco in Los Angeles.
What's your name?
My name is Jason.
And who are you, what do you do here?
I'm a supervisor, front-end supervisor.
And why aren't you letting me in?
Because in the state of California, in the county of Los Angeles, there has been there's been no change to our mask policy. Not in the state of California or in the county of Los Angeles.
Didn't you see the news? You didn't see the news. Nationwide Costco has said you need to wear a mask.
Actually, that's not accurate.
What is accurate?
So what is accurate is that Costco always goes above and beyond when following the law. And the mandate in California has not changed. There does seem to be the possibility that in June, by mid-June, that's a date that California, I know,
if they allow us, if they grant us that, our kings, the people in power, you're going to listen to these people?
Well, I know
they've destroyed our economy.
Well,
they're destroying
our
culture. They're destroying our state.
I see.
And you're just going to listen to their rules.
Well, what we are going to do is simply follow the guidelines.
Okay.
I'm getting my refund from Costco. I suggest everybody in California get their refund from Costco. Give up your membership to Costco until they remove this.
Okay, well, this hasn't changed in any building in California, in any company that I'm aware of. The places I shop still require masks. But that's not the point. The point is Costco is simply abiding by the law, and that's the law.
There's my refund. You're the manager? Okay, I'm suggesting everybody in California get a refund from Costco until this rule is lifted. Thank you.
Have a nice day.
Thank you.
I don't know the personal politics of Jason, the supervisor, or the manager. I do know that they don't have the freedom to to decide whether or not they want to follow state guidances or just whatever their bosses have told them as far as whatever the store policy is.
And Costco had come out when they made their decision. They said, we're going to lift the mask mandates, but only in areas where the states are open.
Yeah.
So they said that right from the get-go. So, Rick, you were wrong.
And here's the thing. And to Rick's credit, he has since apologized in the same form that he did his rant via video. And so, to be fair, let's listen to what Rick had to say in the wake of this.
Yeah, I was trying to make a point to the corporate overlords, and sorry that I had to use you to do it. And I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings, I apologize. But I do think that independence from medical tyranny is more important than hurting people's feelings. And so I'm sorry I hurt your feelings. But I want us all to be free. I want us all to go back to the way it was. I don't want this COVID reality they want, COVID passports, and I just don't want it, and neither should you.
Okay, here's a problem with this being put in the context of tyranny. These are private businesses. If they say no shirt, if they say no shoes, if they say no mask, no service, that's just the way it is. It's not a function of restricting your movement as a citizen throughout the state or the country. And although Ricky Schroeder may be of the opinion that this is tyranny or he wants to go back to the way it was pre-COVID, in the way that I'm going to stick up for his individual right to voice it, I'm going to stick up for Costco's individual right to say, hey, as a business, we don't necessarily feel comfortable with the legal exposure of letting unmasked and unvaccinated people come in, because their policy is fully vaccinated, and the state guidance, there being no mask state guidance, then you can come in without a mask. Both of those things. And that's for Costco or Walmart or Sam's Club or Target or even Starbucks to decide. So although he may put it within the context of tyranny, you don't have a constitutional right to walk into a Costco without a mask. You just don't. Nothing against Ricky Schroeder. I do appreciate that he was man enough to apologize, because Jason, the supervisor, did not deserve that. And I would encourage anyone, even though you may disagree with the business's practices, don't take it out on the employees.
Yeah, I think Jason handled it as well as he possibly could have.
I wouldn't have handled it as well. I just know I wouldn't have. It's just not who I am.
So props to Jason.
Props to Jason. I don't know. Jason's like,
gosh, I just came to work today. It's a Sunday. I didn't expect to be trending on Twitter. I didn't expect to be on the news. I just wanted to just do the job that I was supposed to do.
It just reinforces, like, you remember the movie Crash?
Yes, I do.
It's a fabulous movie.
Yes.
I feel like our whole society is that way. If you haven't seen it, it's, I don't know, it's like 10, 20 years old.
Almost 20 years old. No, I think, yeah.
But it's a really interesting movie, and it's based in L.A., and it just talks about how, the name of it is Crash, and it talks about how people are just looking for confrontations. And it just feels like that around us now.
And also, you don't necessarily know the story behind the individuals. Mm-hmm. You only get to see what life shows you when those people meet, but you don't know what's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
From the family who has this police interaction to the officer which stopped them and the problems he's having at home. There are a lot of layers to that movie. It's a great recommendation. This is the Gary and Shannon Show. Mo Kelly here. One more segment when we come back. KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
But tell me what you've done for me.
KFI AM 640, it's the Gary and Shannon Show. Mo Kelly here. Wayne Resnick will be joining you at the top of the hour. And before we get out of here, I need someone to clarify for me what the truth is. I haven't had Cheetos in many, many years. Many years. But in the time since I've had my last Cheeto, there has been this story floating around. I took it as truth. Most people took it as truth. Remember the janitor who had been taking credit for inventing Flaming Hot Cheetos? Well, according to Frito-Lay, it's not true. Richard Montañez, he's repeatedly claimed that he pitched the idea of the chili-covered Cheeto to an executive while working as a custodian at Frito-Lay's plant in Rancho Cucamonga, right out here in California. And because of that, he garnered lucrative speaking engagements. There's a forthcoming biopic, which is going to be directed by Eva Longoria, and even a book deal for his memoir titled Flamin' Hot, The Incredible True Story of One Man's Rise from Janitor to Top Executive. Let me stop there. If it's not true, then how in the hell did this charade go on for so long? How is it you're going to have a guy who's speaking, doing speaking gigs, getting a book deal off something which is, I guess, would be verifiably untrue, you would think. Now, this is just a breaking report that Frito-Lay is saying that it can't find any record of Richard Montañez having anything to do with the creation or formulation of Flamin' Hot Cheetos. But let me be fair here. Both things can be true. Frito-Lay can have no record of it, and also Richard Montañez still be the inspiration behind it. Depending on who Montañez told, the way in which it was told, was it written down, was it memorialized in any way? Did someone take credit for his invention or his idea? It's not unheard of. It's not even unusual, especially in the food industry. I mean, there have been long-standing rumors regarding Kentucky Fried Chicken, its original recipe, and other fast food places as far as who created what, under what circumstances, and who actually got the credit and also the payment for it. I am inclined to believe that both things are true here. I am inclined to believe that since Frito-Lay never stepped out and said, Richard, you need to stop saying that it's not true, that it probably is true. If I went around and said I was the guy, and I'm just making this up, I'm the guy who created Mrs. Fields' cookies recipe. The moment I say it, I'm probably going to get sued, even if I work there. But Frito-Lay did nothing. They said nothing. This went on for years. This was just, maybe they thought that it was worth the free advertisement of Flaming Hot Cheetos. Maybe. But they never said anything. They clearly didn't step in and reprimand him. They didn't say that you couldn't monetize this. They didn't say, you know, that book deal, that's a bridge too far. You're doing too much. You're now changing the whole narrative of the company.
You've turned it into something that it isn't. It was a nice feel-good story, but now you've turned it into speaking engagements. You've turned it into this book deal and movie deal. That's not what we originally agreed upon. Because there had to have been some sort of conversation. There had to have been some sort of agreement when Montagna started telling his story. Someone at Frito-Lay had to sit down and say, well, it is true, right? Or it isn't true. How are we going to handle this? And they said nothing. They did nothing. And now for this report to come out right now, I don't even eat Flaming Hot Cheetos. It would not agree with my system. That's all I can say. I just can't eat certain things anymore. But it does fascinate me how, if this is untrue, how this was allowed to continue for literally years and years. How can you allow someone, if it's untrue, that is, how can you allow someone to consistently and continually tell that lie and use the Frito-Lay name? I know if I tried to do it, if you tried to do it, we'd have a cease and desist in a heartbeat. And clearly no one is contesting whether he actually worked at Frito-Lay as a janitor. The issue is whether he was the inspiration for Flaming Hot Cheetos. And then it becomes a legal issue whether he was compensated fairly for it. Did they just take his idea and hand him off a little money? Or does he get some sort of royalty on the growth of the product? Because it is a huge product within the Frito-Lay company. We're talking about millions and millions of dollars. And if he only got a book deal and a movie deal out of it, and some appearances on TV, well, Frito-Lay got off easy, got off real easy. So this is what I'm looking for. If the guy did not actually come up with it, you know, why hasn't Frito-Lay stepped in? Or maybe they know he did come up with it, and if they were to step in, it would present a legal fight that they really don't want to have, because then it would have to affirm on the record that Montañez was the actual inspiration for Flamin' Hot Cheetos. It's an interesting story that I'll continue to watch. Coming up next is Wayne Resnick for the other half of Gary and Shannon. I'm Mo Kelly. I'll see you tomorrow. KFI AM 640. We are live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
This summer, get ready for the 99's More in Store Tour. More than 40 99-cent only stores in L.A. are getting more 99-y, so you'll find more fun with a fresh design. Discover more seasonal decor with sizzling savings, drool more with fresh produce at mouthwatering prices, and keep saving more with the 99's unbeatable value on unbelievable name brands.
I need a bigger cart.
Find out if the summer's hottest tour is bringing more to a 99 near you at 99hasmore.com.
The first time I thought about getting life insurance was when my dad got sick. The whole thing happened really, really fast. What if the same thing were to happen, you know, to my family? The feeling of having Ladder is I know that my family is taken care of.
Here's how Ladder works. Answer a few quick questions and get your personalized quote. If you're eligible, Ladder will cover you with the tap of a button. It's that easy. Come see for yourself why customers love Ladder. Check your price now at ladderlife.com/online. Featuring real stories from real customers.
This summer, get ready for the 99's More in Store Tour. More than 40 99-cent only stores in L.A. are getting more 99-y, so you'll find more fun with a fresh design. Discover more seasonal decor with sizzling savings, drool more with fresh produce at mouthwatering prices, and keep saving more with the 99's unbeatable value on unbelievable name brands.
I need a bigger cart.
Find out if the summer's hottest tour is bringing more to a 99 near you at 99hasmore.com.